just want everybody to open your Bibles to Job 38. Going to starting on verse 4. And I'm not going to read this whole section, but verse 4 through 21. I'm going to kind of pick a few verses here and there. Okay. The title of this message is called "Have You Forgotten?" It's the name of the message. I think pretty much everybody here knows the story of Job, and the trials he went through. Had great possessions, huge family, all of it gone, taken away. So Job, rightfully so, he's upset. He just lost everything that he had. Everybody knew, except for the so-called friends trying to give him counsel. Job, during this time, he still knew God's existence. He still acknowledged God, but at the same time, he starts questioning God. It's like, God, are you there? You seem to do this, but I feel like you're doing that. I can't perceive you. I can't understand you. I need an answer. You need to tell me. You need to talk to me. I need to know. God finally answers Job. And of course, he says, when he starts to answer Job, he starts asking the series of questions. Verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined the measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band." And skipping on ahead, "Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place?" And so on and so forth. He just keeps asking all these questions. Why? Well, I think at some point Job forgot who it was he was talking to. So God had to give Job a very sober reminder. It's like, Job, remember who you're talking to. This is who you're talking to. It's like, I will answer you, but I'm going to answer it my way, not the way you want. Okay? And again, the circumstances surrounding Job's life caused him to lose sight of who God is. And he just needed a little reminder. And like I said, Job never said God did not exist. Job acknowledges God's existence, but again, he just lost sight of who God was. He just, again, during all the things that went on in his life, he just forgot. And he just needed a reminder. And another good example of this, the nation of Israel, probably the prime example of a people who forgot who God was. And because of that, their whole nation just fell into complete disarray. If you go into the book of Jeremiah, let me bring it up here real quick. Here we go. Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 13. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord." And he goes on and says, "They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us into the wilderness and a land of deserts and pits, and a land of drought and deep darkness, and a land that none passes through, where no man dwells." So Jeremiah starts talking about how the people just all of a sudden start forgetting what God had done for them. I mean, how long were the people of Israel from the time they left Egypt to the time they got to the border of the Promised Land? I mean, how long was that journey altogether?
11 days.
Okay. And think about it, when they get to the Promised Land, it's like all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, it's like, we can't do this. They forgot what God did for them in Egypt, completely forgot the crossing of the Red Sea, forgot the miracles that God performed for them during their travels. They just completely lost sight. And as a result, what happened? had to wander 40 years. And they just quickly forgot who it was that they were serving and what God had done for them. I mean, it can be easy, unfortunately, at times, to forget who God is. We allow the frustrations, distractions, and the busyness of our lives to get in the way, and we just lose sight. As Christians, we know God exists. We know His Son, but we can forget about the nature of God. We can lose sight of the wonderful and awesome power of God, of creation. We can become so complacent that we forget that we serve a God of great power and glory. And personal confession of mine, it happens with me when I begin to neglect just one very simple thing: meditate on God's word and hearing what He is saying to me. I mean, that's really how it all begins. I mean, from there, if I'm not trying to stay engaged in His word, my prayer time begins to suffer. And then eventually, I'm just going day to day, forgetting that God is wanting to speak to me, and I'm not giving Him the time. I need to meditate on His word daily, and pray to Him, because I'm serious. My mind, it's a terrible mess. It really is a terrible mess most of the time. Because when I'm not meditating His word, I mean, I have some of the most racing thoughts all the time, just constantly, and they're so random, they get very over. I mean, it just gets very overwhelming, and it's just, I mean, different things. It could either be like things I need to get done, things that I'm just thinking about things from that's happened in the past, or things I need to do. I mean, it's just, I mean, everything under the sun is just going through there. And it is, it's very irritating, but I know that when I'm focused on God and His word, that they do, that the thoughts do come in, they come into alignment. They do. And it makes my life so much easier when that does, because once they come into alignment, it allows me to focus in other areas. It's like, once I get that priority taken care of, other things step into place. But when I neglect that, it's just like complete chaos in there. It really is. Yep. And again, and unfortunately I do. I usually fall into the same trap. In the mornings, I'm struggling to wake up, doing anything that requires any kind of serious thought, not on my priority list. It's not at all. Mm-mm. The Lord wants me to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. But in the mornings, my mind is not in it, and as a result, my heart is not in it. So I'll usually, I have my laptop there. I'll pull up a YouTube video, drinking coffee. Most of the time, whatever is playing, I'm barely paying attention to it. I'm just trying to drink coffee, trying to wake up, and I'm just in a daze. And this sometimes happens even if I've had a good night's sleep. I still sometimes will struggle. And again, I'm just waiting for my brain to finally start firing correctly. And by the time, okay, but the problem is, by the time it does, by the time I'm like, okay, I'm pretty alert now, I look at the clock. Well, got to get up, got to get shower, dress, pack my stuff, got to go to work, and try to get there before 7:30. And again, it's dangerous, because when I repeatedly do this, my attitude towards people, and everything else, it takes a hard nosedive. I'm serious. I'll go from, if I allow that trend to continue, somebody's having a bad attitude towards me. I think they probably need some prayer. They just need to get whatever it is. They just need to get it dealt with. We just need the Lord pray for them. It goes from they need prayer to go into my classroom when they're, you know, when I'm by myself. It's like, man, I don't know what's the problem. And I start muttering to myself and getting angry at them instead. So my attitude, my heart towards that person is completely reversed. It's true. But again, like I said, I'm just I just begin to forget who it is I'm supposed to. You know, I forget who it is who I'm supposed to be serving and what my attitude is supposed to be. And again, I'm just being completely honest with you up here. You know, for me to come up here, if I were to share this message with you and not have full honesty, you know, it's going to make it sound like, oh, well, he's got all his act together. That would be very hypocritical of me to do that. So I'm sharing it. So that's why I want to share this with you. I just want to be very open about this. Because I'm still learning. It's an area I really still need to mature in. I don't have it all together quite yet. Will I ever? Probably not. Could I do better? Oh, I can always do better. There's always, as I say, there's always room for improvement. There really is. It's very easy to slip. But again, remember, we are God's children. And children will make the same mistake over and over before they learn. And of course, if you are sitting there thinking that Josh needs to get his act together instead of evaluating your own relationship with God, you may want to rethink what you are thinking. Just saying. But yeah, finding time to meditate on God's word and prayer to him is key. It is so key. Passages like Joshua 1:8, Psalm 63:6, Psalm 119:15, Psalm 143:5 all have one common thread: meditation. I know in our culture, in other cultures, when you hear the word meditation, you know, you may not be so much thinking about Christians doing that, but maybe somebody from maybe like another religion, some type of spiritual guru sitting there meditating on a carpet or on a hilltop somewhere. But I mean, but meditation is something that we all need to practice. And again, what you're just taking time to quietly reflect on what you are learning, as opposed to meditating on something. You're doing something for yourself inwardly. Our meditation's more, okay, I need to outwardly, I'm meditating towards God and letting him speak directly into me so that I can serve him better. What is he saying to me? What does God want me to do this day? That's our meditation. And during Jesus' ministry, he took time to find a desolate place to pray to God. And if you don't know, when desolate, of course, means deserted of people in a state of bleak and dismal emptiness is the definition of desolate. Have you ever thought about this when you've read the Gospels? I mean, Jesus' ministry was 3 years, right? They spent most of that time traveling by walking, riding on the back of an animal, occasionally by boat going across the sea. So a lot of time was spent on foot, on the road. And you know, there were, you know, 1,000 people are hearing, Jesus is coming. Here he comes. They've heard the miracles. They've heard the wonders that he's done. You know, there was somebody who, you know, I mean, there was all these broken, desperate people just longing to see him, wanting something from Jesus. I mean, imagine somebody, I don't know, crippled, coming up saying, it's like, oh, I can't wait to see Jesus. Where is he? Oh, he went off to be by himself. What? Yeah, he's by himself right now. He needs some quiet time. I mean, if you were somebody who was desperately wanting to see Jesus and you found out it's like he's off by himself right now praying, how would that make you feel? I mean, you want to see him, like, now you are desperate, but Jesus is off somewhere praying, because Jesus knew, he's like, I need this quiet time with the Father. I need to hear from him. And, of course, why did he choose a desolate place? No distractions. I mean, there were times Jesus did not want to people either, okay? He wanted to be away from people. He needed that time to get away. And I completely understand, because that's usually me right at the end of school. I don't want to people at all. So I get it. I get why he wants to be by himself. But I mean, the main reason, of course, the main reason he wanted to be by himself is like, I need to hear directly from the Father. I don't need anything to get in the way of that. And also, of course, I'm sure dealing with people day in and day out, those disciples, I'm sure it's like, I need to get away because I love them and I want to continue to love them. Because again, remember, he was human too. And I'm sure that human says, I want to continue to love these people. I need to step away. Yep. So, but yeah, I mean, that could be something very hard to find, trying to find that quiet place, because, I mean, with everything that goes on in our daily lives. But again, to truly meditate, I mean, we need that quiet so that we can hear from God and not forget he is there. And I think for some of us, that is the issue. If you're not actively hearing from God, and then, you know, we can't physically see him, and if you're not actively hearing from him, that's very easy to forget. You know, he's there. I mean, he's here. I mean, he's here right now. He's in this room. You know, we can't see him, but we know he's here. We know his presence is with us. But if you're not actively trying to engage in that, yeah, you can easily forget that he's there. And something kind of related to this, a lot of times I'll get an occasional phone call from my mom. And usually sometimes it's about, oh, Josh, I don't know if you heard about this, but I just want to let you know that so-and-so just passed away, or so-and-so got into a bad car accident. Now, coming from a really small town, you know, when I lived there, I knew a lot of people. I mean, maybe not, you know, real personally, but, you know, if I saw them, like, oh, I know that's so-and-so, that's, you know, that's Jim, that's Bob, that's Robert, Caldwell, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I moved away, so some of these people I haven't seen for, like, literally 2 decades, maybe 2.5 decades. So when mom will say these people, it's like, mom was like, you know, so-and-so just passed away. Who? Yeah. You know, no. Oh, come on, you know who I'm talking about. So-and-so, you know, they're related to this person, here. And I'm like, I have no clue. I have no clue who you're talking about. And it was probably somebody I have talked about in the past. I have probably physically, you know, shaken their hand, spoke to them face to face, but I haven't seen them, haven't heard from them. I haven't been actively trying to rediscover this person, so I'm completely oblivious to who she's talking about. Okay? So, and again, if you're not actively engaging, haven't active relationship with God, not speaking to him, not allowing him to talk to you, not trying to hear from him, I mean, you can start to become, I mean, again, you can become oblivious to his presence and not realize that he's there. You just forget. And but God, the Father does not want his children to forget about him. He wants to be in an active relationship. And just yesterday, I was typing this up, and I was in the bedroom, and Bruce was in the living room, drinking a bottle, playing with his toys, and watching his favorite cartoon. And all of a sudden, he decided to come look for me. And he found me. And of course, what did he want? Just to be with Daddy. That's it. Just want to be with Daddy and wrestle with him on the bed. That's all he wanted to do. He likes to wrestle. Yeah, if I'm in the bedroom, he wants to go up on the bed with me. He wants to wrestle. By the way, I won that fight. So anyway. I don't know. It was a close call there for a second. Especially when he likes to put his foot right on my neck. That's great. But that's what God wants from his children. He just wants his children to search him out and to be in a relationship. I don't know so much about the wrestling, because the last person that wrestled with God got his hip broken and walked with a limp for the rest of his life. So I don't know about the wrestling, but he definitely wants us to be actively engaging with him. And you remember, does God actually need a family? He doesn't need a family, but he wants one. He has that desire to have a family, and he wants us to be, and he wants all of us to be a part of that. That was a desire that God had for us. He's like, I want to create some people. I want to create beings who will be in a family with me, in a relationship with me. That's what he wanted. Didn't necessarily need us, but that's just something that he just wanted to have. So I do want to finish with just a few more things. Remember who you serve and remember what he has done in your life. The testimonies that we just heard today, the things that God has been doing in all of our lives, hold on to that and remember it. Don't ever forget it. One passage that I really like is Acts chapter 7. Stephen is brought to the high priest because he's preaching the message of Christ. And he's being accused of speaking blasphemous things against Moses and God. And Stephen's response was by just sharing the entire Israel's entire story, starting with the covenant of Abraham. And he reminded the priest what God did for their people and reminded them what happened when they rejected God. Because the priests had lost sight of who God was. They had forgotten what God had done. And they forgot God's prophecies, even though the fulfillment of that prophecy was right in front of their face. Instead, they rejected him. He got crucified. They completely forgot what God had told them. But Stephen remembered who he served and why he served him, even though it did cost him his life. Now, some amazing things about God he does so much for us, and when I lose sight and sometimes forget, it does. I feel a little sorrow because Lord, I'm really sorry. Sometimes I'll question, it's like, God, are you going to help me or not? And I forget, it's like, you have helped me. I know you're going to continue. And I'm just thankful God is so patient with me. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but one last thing here. Did you know our universe is estimated to be about 93 billion light years across? A distance that's pretty much really impossible to imagine. God's glory can fill all of it. And at the same time, that glory can be contained inside of an infant born in a manger. God set into motion the forces that govern the movement of the planets, the forces that produce energy inside of stars, and yet he does not force his children to love him because he loves and cares about us, that he wants us to freely choose him. Now he may persuade us, give us a nudge, or sometimes a little swat on the backside, like a good father should, to get our attention. But he does not force us. God is the author and creator of life, yet chose to give up his own life to give us life. That is the one we serve. That is the one that wants to be in a relationship with you, with all of us. Don't forget that. Amen.